to the last session of our convention, one in which we hope and pray will be a blessing to all of you as we strive to reflect and review upon some of the highlights of the week that we can pack up with us, pack up in our hearts and our minds, and carry them home with us. Be sure not to open them when we get there. We'll turn the program at this time over to our chairman, Brother Robert and Brother Bob Alexander.
Thank you, Brother Larry. First order of business, I'd like to ask Brother Newell to join us. He's one of the elders that served on the panel, or served from the platform. Our convention began last Tuesday, just after lunch, and we asked the Lord's blessing on the convention that we might be inspired and encouraged in the truth, the hopes and the desires, and the efforts for all of us might be directed so that we might be sustained in the truth, that we might be encouraged to walk faithfully. Brother Edmund's introductory talk gave us 7 points which would be of value and give us some sense of direction in getting blessings from the convention. We thought that we might use this last session to try and pull together some of the blessings together with the encouragements and the supports that we need to be faithful as we leave here and go out into our daily lives of reality. We have surely been in an ivory tower. This, to me, has been one of the most ideally arranged conventions, even to the point of the weather. I don't know of any convention I have ever experienced in which so many things have come together so beautifully. And I'm sure that this has been true in your own experiences. We've asked the elders who have served from the platform to consider over this last 6 days, all the blessings that they have received, and try and pick out one or two, as the case may be, that would help us make the transition from this ivory tower into the world of reality, and not only make it, but also use the values that we have received at this convention in such a way that we could be better Christians because of having been here, more faithful to our covenants of sacrifice, more able and willing to glorify the Heavenly Father's name. We're going to start at the Board of Elders and just ask them to spontaneously respond. We, by the way, did not warn them about this until this morning, so what you will hear is probably the very cream off the top of their heads. Each of them have asked me to start at the other end of the table, but since Brother Newell has just so recently come, it wouldn't be fair to ask him. So I'm going to start at this end of the table, and I know that my back is turned to this end of the table, but I also know my brethren. Brother Larry, would you like to speak first?
Well, there's one advantage to being first, and that is you don't repeat anything that anybody's already said. We found that one of the highlights of the convention for us were some thoughts that we have dwelled and meditated upon and wanted to express for a long time. But Brother Bob expressed it much better than we could in his talk on O Absalom. And, you know, when we think of what the Master was so upset about when he came and walked the streets of Jerusalem in his life at his first advent, one of the things that really bothered him the most was the hypocrisy of the attitude of those who were in Moses' seat. These who were represented by the rich man and Lazarus, the nation of Israel, who had all the promises of God. And they fared sumptuously. We're all familiar with the parable. And Jesus, when he was being criticized by the Pharisees or scribes, he said, "I have not come to call you who think you are righteous, but sinners under repentance." And I think how much we need to not lose sight of the purpose of our calling. The purpose of our calling is not only that we can live and dwell in the intimate family of our Heavenly Father and with His Son and be one with them and to share that beautiful communication which is hard to imagine. But the call is to a new creation, a Melchizedek priesthood that will develop so much compassion, so much love, so much sensitiveness in their hearts for people, not just those who are like them, because it's easy to love people that are like you and who love the same things. It's easy for us to love each other because we all have that spirit within us. But to not get the Christian snobbery that we look down at those people out there like the Pharisees who wear the phylacteries around their heads to be seen of men. To not have a righteous, self-righteous attitude or spirit that all the knowledge that we have that our brethren didn't have prior to us in all the gospel age, all the accumulated knowledge that was given to us, particularly in this Laodicean period, that we use that knowledge to develop the Christ-likeness, the same love and spirit that he had, that could reach out and extend that hand, as the Samaritan man did, to help another brother or another man out there who needed help in some way. And unless we develop that compassion, unless we have the doctrine in our hearts and exemplify it and prove to our Heavenly Father that we really love people and that the lessons and sacrifices that we make here and now will show our heart loyalty to that purpose, that we want to fill that position for a part in the Melchizedek priesthood, we won't make it. One scripture that comes to mind that's been very helpful to us along those lines, and in particular I think it's dwelling upon our forerunner, but I think it's part of all of us, in Hebrews 5, verses 1 and 2. And I've mentioned to some of you before along these lines in fellowship. But in Hebrews 5 it says, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins." Notice carefully. "Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity." Now, even though prior to this, he was talking about Christ and how he knew no sin, and he was perfect, yet he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. I think we, as part of him, as part of that prospective body, must learn, as it says later on, by the things which we suffer, how to love. And it's the doctrine and keeping that pure, as Brother Wilmot brought out, lifting up that standard, keeping it pure, that will sanctify us and make us pure. But we must have that love for others if we're going to be part of that body. And so we pray and hope that that we don't become like the Israelites, because they were broken off of that olive tree, weren't they? They were broken off because they didn't have the right spirit. We can be broken off too.
Thank you, Brother Larry. Brother Edward.
In the area of contributions, I couldn't help but think that one of the outstanding contributions made by one of our delegates is the time and effort that went in for the children. I took a tour in one of the rooms where they were constructing that tabernacle, and I made a survey of all the little tots, what they were doing. Their name was on that tabernacle, and I looked at some of their construction, and I noticed some were a little sloppier and some were a little more orderly, and the personality of that child was... But what I'd like to emphasize, the fact is, the one that was responsible in gathering all this material beforehand, I'm sure it must have taken months to develop all this before you got to bring this material down, to take that much interest in children, to give them this insight on their level, the tabernacle. I think that was wonderful. And I don't know how many of you went up there to look at those tabernacles. How many in here saw that? Please raise your hand. Oh, just about everybody. Don't you think they were wonderful? Sure they were. But then after a while, I would get different children, would ask them a few questions, you know, and ask them, well, what different parts of the tabernacle? It'd be surprising, they came up. One boy had all the furniture. He told me exactly what was in the holy, what was in the most holy. And I was surprised at the amount of knowledge he was able to accumulate and to retain. So I think this is a valuable contribution. I think many times our children, perhaps this is a convention for adults, true, but since we had so many children, and when the stage was filled, I thought the stage would be too small when it began coming up here yesterday. All these little children, it's just wonderful to see. But whoever was responsible, I think there was a group working on this before the convention, I think the committee should thank them personally for that effort that went in for the children. I think it was a valuable contribution, and perhaps maybe in days to come, this will bear fruitage. I'll say something later, Bob, when it comes to me.
Maybe it's cream that comes off the top of the head of some brethren, but... Spontaneity is not always so good. I couldn't help but think in relationship, and brethren may not know it, but the divisions on that organ over there are called great, swell, and positive, and I think that summarizes the convention. it really was great, swell, and positive. And just before this session, one sister said, if I had to summarize the convention in one word, it would be relevant. And I thought about that after she said it, and I appreciated the comment. She said, if I had to have two words, it would be spirit-filled. And I think that's a nice compliment from the Lord. When Brother Jesuit began at the beginning of the week, he drew some mental imagery on Christian armor. And I tend to see things, even when they're symbolic, I see them literally pictured in my mind's eye. And I had this very graphic view of us walking in with our helmets on crooked, our shields battered, our sword not sharp, very thin soles on the sandals. And during the week, that image kept coming back, and I thought, I think that's correct. I think maybe the Lord wanted us to realize the condition of our armor. Maybe we hadn't looked at it for a while. There was a lot of helmet straightening and shield mending and sword sharpening going on. I appreciated the tremendous, not only variety, but strength in the remarks in the variety, because we had excellent moments to see why doctrine is important and maybe how we should look at it objectively. Tremendous reminders about prophecy and the importance in a practical sense, how we might be faced with having plain spoken positions regarding Israel in the near future. Our behavior, our character development as again symbolized in the faults of Absalom. All the brethren I spoke with were blessed with the study on Thursday morning. And it did center around two of our prophetic problems, lukewarmness and pride of possession. And I suppose if I have to go home with anything, it's easy for me to remember those two things from Revelation. With a real reminder from the Lord that in all the areas that have been considered, we have the possibility and probability of lukewarmness or pride of possession. And maybe one of the things that would help from falling into that particular snare, those two particular snares, is to realize that Christianity is an outgoing religion, not an inward one. And if we look too much at ourselves as individuals, we're not looking at the Lord, and we're not doing anything. Or we might think we're doing a lot of self-examination, meditation, application. But if it's all self-centered, it seems to miss the point of Christianity. Christianity is one of the most outward-going religions that have ever come into existence. And that was impressed on me from the platform all week long, that any time we were admonished by the brethren that are sitting here of our weaknesses, most of the time it was because we weren't looking at what was happening as things left us, rather than how they were coming into us, but rather how they are coming out from us. I'll stop. I'm just rambling.
Bob, I just want a little extra here. David reminded me of these study meetings. It's a little humorous. You remember when the names were posted up on the bulletin board and the teacher and the participants were right below that teacher, so there's quite a group of the friends all looking down the list, where am I? And some of the comments were, they look at their name, they look, who's leader? Ooh, I hope I don't go there. This one looked, I'm glad I got him. And it was so humorous how the flesh began to react, you know. Everyone had favorites on there. And all of these, it was either ooh or ah, ooh, ah. And it just seemed that the flesh began to operate. But I'm sure that those of you that might have had a ah, when you went to the ah, brother, you got a blessing, because I don't think I've heard one comment that was bad. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I agree with Dave here that I just all the participants, I don't think our leader had a call once. The hands were up there all the time. I just thought that was great. So sometimes the flesh, you know, kind of gets in the way, but the spirit takes over.
David sparked a thought in me in the 58th chapter of Isaiah, where it speaks about the outgoingness of our privileges and so on, where it says to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? I think there's eight things here. And to be able to go home with an increased desire to share and to help to build and to let our love show, let it be exemplified. The main spiritual exercise, if I have to concentrate on one, I'd like to go down through all seven of them. But I'll concentrate on the one, is on the realization. Spiritual exercise, the beauty here that I have experienced, the realization of a first love, of a first love of the truth and what it means. It's an old-fashioned convention. An old-fashioned convention. I'm sure that most of us have been to conventions in the past that we felt that convention really had it. Well, this convention is really headed. And
I've appreciated it. I've appreciated it. And one of the things that always bowls me over, and this convention is no exception, is you know that the realization is going to be greater than the anticipation when it comes to spiritual things. Worldly things are just the reverse. The fun is in the getting. When you get there, it's an empty bubble. Spiritual things, you know that a convention is going to be good. You build yourself up with this prayer and anticipation, and when you get here, it's better than you ever dreamed of. And that's this convention is that. I'm grateful for the harvest message that's been proclaimed here, the clearness of it from first to last, and the strengthening power of the truth. The strengthening power of the truth. That I can go home with two hands and two feet. We all can go home with two hands and two feet and fulfill some of these eight things spoken about in the 58th chapter of Isaiah, of dealing our bread to the hungry and actually be empowered by the Lord through the truth and through Christ Jesus himself, the present Lord, to bless those that we come in contact with. It's given me courage. Courage. You know, there's such a thing as peer pressure, but there's also such a thing as peer support. And we need support. We need to believe, and we need all the help that as the church gets smaller and smaller, we need each other more and more. And that's the reason that this convention has meant so much to me. I could talk about a lot of talks, but I was impressed with the discourse on elders and deacons. I was impressed with the talk on marriage, a talk long overdue. I don't know if the talk has ever been given like that before. And it was right on target. The privileges and responsibilities and duties of being a woman. And the beauty that has been shared here among the brethren is holy. It's of the Lord. You look for these beautiful qualities in your brethren and you see them. You see them. They have grown. You have known these brethren for a period of time. And this beauty parlor that we talked about, that works. These sisters become beautiful. And it's a beauty of holiness. The patience and the self-control and the love and all of these beautiful characteristics. God works these cosmetics from the inside. My prayer, very selfishly, I suppose, is to go home and share most of these blessings to the limit of my ability with my wife. She's here with me in spirit. She's everything that I can ask for and a helpmate. And more. And so I am grateful. I think two scriptures. I laid awake the other night. You know, sometimes you get so excited and you think. These are a couple of scriptures that I'd like to share. One thing have I desired of the Lord. This is Psalm 27:4. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. The beauty of the Lord. In that word there is pleasantness of the Lord. This is the way it should be. And to inquire in his temple. And then the 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him.
I'm in a way reminded of an old discourse given many, many years ago by Brother Barton. At one time I used it as an outline. You know, our greatest ambition. And what is our greatest ambition? Is to glorify the Father's name. And I think that this has been accomplished at this convention. The 7 points that we have on the board there, in one in our study that we had, I think they were amply developed in that. If I could pick out, say, one, I think the study sort of brought them all together. All the other discourses worked individually on that. But here we had to anticipate, we had to participate, we had to contribute, we had to meditate, we had to realize, we had to apply, and we certainly appreciated everything that we had in that study. And what a beautiful study that we had. Our deliverance draweth nigh. How can we make ourselves ready? And to me, everything worked together to that one. This could have been the theme of the convention, I believe. And I think, you know, we have many themes. But this really was a highlight in the convention here. And Evelyn and I really were sort of, we were, I don't know, timid or however, because we didn't prepare as we should have before doing that. And I heard that of so many. And, you know, oh, I don't know, I'm not going to, how can I participate? I didn't study properly, but yet, and it was pointed out by some other brethren that, you know, you've been studying for how many years? When did you receive the truth? 6 months? 60 years? You've had that length of time in which to prepare for this study. And it was true. The contributions were really beautiful. And everything has worked together to help develop these points. And the conclusion, Brother Edmund's talk, I think, sort of put it all together as to what we're facing in a way of, you know, how close our deliverance is. Our deliverance can be 10 minutes from now, or it could be 10 years from now. The Lord knows. But we should be in that position that, as our Lord brought to our attention on the with the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 19, lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. We don't have to place our trust in Cougarans or anything else. The treasures we were building up were built up here in these days of convention. And I'd like just to, Brother Alexander said, sprung this on, you know, what about an incident or two? And I was just recalling there were really a couple incidents, one as recent as last night with the after the love feast, the conscientious objector meeting, as it were, where the young people were given a sample of what they might expect in answering their faith. And I was thinking, too, you know, what about the older brethren? Can I give an answer for the hope that is in me? We're often told that, well, don't give it much anxious thought. The Lord will put words in your mouth at the proper time, and it's true. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be prepared, that we shouldn't know where the scriptures are, what sort of, how the world is thinking. What sort of things can they be helped with in some of their irrational reasonings that they have? Such as was brought out to us as far as cults. We can say that we're not a cult. We don't believe it, but yet everybody else believes it. So if they believe we're a cult, then how do we answer them? I think it was brought out very well. And the incident, the brother testified pretty much to that effect. when he was witnessing to some of those that came for the public meeting, you know, how steeped in error they are and what a God-dishonoring doctrine they believe. And can we help them, or can we really give an answer forthright and to the point of why we don't believe there's a hell or have an immortal soul and so on? So I think these points, they come to my mind as at the top of my head at the moment.
Stop me if I go over 10 minutes, Bob. Not that I know I am, but I'm usually long-winded. I think the first point would deal with participation, contribution, and meditation. Participation and contribution would be fellowship, exchange one with another. And the afterthought, meditation, is consequence. Brother came up to me during the convention and said, I'm very thankful about your son, Phil, being spared. He says, but how would you answer the fact that the Lord didn't spare one of my children X number of years ago that was killed in an automobile accident? Well, when you're hit with a question like that, it really makes you think. And it did make me think. And it made me appreciate the scripture Brother Larry gave us on being a compassionate and sympathetic high priest. And a similar question came up last evening, earlier in the evening, with our young people in the CO discussion. And one raised the point when we were putting up the hypothetical case, well, what if one of your loved ones is attacked? And the person expressed that, well, he didn't think the Lord would permit that. But I do feel that in the 144,000, every experience of humanity will have been directly or indirectly experienced and represented within the 144,000. So that we as a composite body truly can be a sympathetic high priest of the world of mankind. I think the Lord's people and the Lord's providence has been spared much harm, much mishap, much danger. The Lord is just permitting a minimum to happen. But that minimum has to happen, that the world of mankind might have represented in this 144,000. Those who will know why they, the world of mankind, as they come forth in the kingdom, have certain mental twists, distortions, and warped thinking because of the tragedies that happen to them in this life. So as sad as that exchange was, it was a blessing. I think that the talks at the convention were excellent. I think we had a balanced diet. I'm sure that each one of us, as we received the lessons and instructions, and we were thinking in terms that when we leave, we're going to be on the battlefield of life. And we felt that, well, I received in this area just what I need. Now I'm prepared to withstand any attacks along that line. But with all the balanced diet that we have received, I would just like to leave a thought that Brother Morehouse often would refer to. He that he thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. When Brother Russell died, the chairman of the Chicago class called an elders and deacons meeting. And Brother Morehouse said that the question they discussed is, well, we know that the pastor, now that he's been taken, is going to be a great trial to the church. Now, what line is this trial going to come along? And they're trying to analyze it as the elders and deacons of the Chicago class. What line the trial would come along? And they came to the conclusion that they really didn't know what area the trial and sifting would come. But one thing they did know, it would not come along doctrinal lines, because they were so well fortified in doctrine. And that was the very line it did come along. I'm not saying this, that it's going to come along doctrinal lines in the future, but the point is, whatever fortifications and preparations we have made, let's not go forth confident in our own strength. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. The fellowship of the conventions in this convention is always precious, and fellowship with this convention has been precious. And fellowship with my brethren always reminds me of Paul's words in Philippians, the second chapter, verses 17 and 18. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, and the Greek word for offered there, and look it up in your margin, other translations so rendered. If I be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. I think the drink offering, more than any other offering in the tabernacle, pictured the privilege of joint sacrifice and oneness of sacrifice we have with our brethren. Why? Because when the drink offering, the liquid was poured on a sacrifice, what does liquid do when it's poured on something? It just rolls over that whole object. It conforms completely to the shape of that object as it rolls over it, showing the oneness between that liquid and the sacrifice itself. And this convention has pointed up to me the oneness of sacrifice that we have together as brethren. I have been greatly encouraged to press on with greater determination in my sacrificial life. Why? Because of the drink offering, the contributions of words and prayers that my brethren had given to me. Notice with Paul, he didn't just say that he was a drink offering to his brethren, the Philippians. They were a drink offering to him also. Their fellowship, their prayers, helped to make Paul's sacrifice acceptable and possible. And I'm thankful to all of my brethren for their drink offering on my behalf. And just one more quick. I love to see Christian principles practiced. One brother came up to me and he says, Ken, I want to see you at this convention. You said something in one of your talks I want to talk to you about. And we had two very nice long sessions that ended up very, very blessed and wholesome. I think a mutual blessing to both of us. Then I also observed two brethren, one of the speakers, another brother, after he gave a talk, went up to him and he said, I don't agree with your thought on such and such a verse of scripture. And another line of reasoning was presented, and the speaker was so thankful and receptive for the contribution and the corrective suggestion that one elder made to another elder. And that meant so much to me.
I really thought you meant that I'd have to cut you off. A lot more time.
I think of the words of the Apostle Paul when he was quoting Jesus. It's Acts 20:35. And he said, to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I was thinking, many times we come to a convention and we sit down and we just take in what is presented from the platform. But in this thought here, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give of ourselves at times in study and in help, inspiration to one another. And I think a highlight of this convention was the way in which we could all participate in something. As you see number 2 on the board there, participation. And I think a highlight of the convention to me was the way we could all participate in a study. And I think maybe some of us can't appreciate this as more as much as some, because his brother Jesuit had said that in one of his questions, we have 13 elders and 20 deacons. Well, some of us come from very small ecclesias. We meet, we have 3 or 4 at a time. We have maybe 1 elder, maybe 2. And you never get a chance to go out and meet with others in a study. So the study that we had, many of us, was for the first time something like this here we experienced. And you're studying with an elder that never been in his ecclesia before. You have 14 or 15 other members all participating, all from different ecclesias. And this is an added dimension. I think it opened up the way for fellowship later on. It seemed to take you get more acquainted with one another. After a discourse at times, you go and the only fellowship you have maybe is at the cafeteria with someone. But this way here, you participated with members of other ecclesias in a study. And to me, that opened up the way for fellowship and testimonies later on. It was an added dimension that I really appreciated. And the study matter itself was something we could all relate to. It was something practical. You know, I was looking in anticipation of coming to this convention for a good feast of spiritual food. And I was just likening that to sometimes when you have an opportunity to go out on a temporal feast somewhere, maybe an anniversary dinner or something, and you're looking forward to that, and you have a 4 or 5 course meal, and at the end when you pay your check, you can even pick up some of the after dinner mints. Well, I think at this convention, that's just how it was. It was so satisfying to the soul. We had such a well-rounded platform of spiritual food, lifting up the standard of doctrine and witness and character, prophetic fulfillments on the fig tree. And we had, what I appreciated also was some of the discourses on the organization of the new creation. And some of these things that we don't often hear of, and sometimes we forget about, and we don't have a proper balance of things. To take a couple summarizing the convention and a couple scriptures that I myself will take home with me, there was many talks on the signs of the times in which we live in, and how, like the three-legged stool, which leg is the most important, and seeing the signs of the times, how we can get taken up with the spirit of the world and not keep our covenant of sacrifice. On the altar, I was thinking of the scriptures that will be a benefit to me as I consider the things that we have heard from the platform this past week. In 2 Peter 3:10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And I think another scripture which goes right along with the convention theme text above us, but a couple verses right before that. Luke 21, verses 34 and 35. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the earth.
We'd like to ask the question, how good was this convention? I think you've heard it expressed already from some of the panel members that it was better than anything they could have expected. I've always said my most favorite convention, and I'm sure you have a favorite convention that you have attended at one time, was the first one of these conventions in 1974. And I just never had a convention that to me seemed to come up to the well-rounded value of that convention. But about Friday morning, Friday afternoon, I realized that I was finding an equal, perhaps even a better. I think this convention was perhaps the most superb in its spirit and value to me personally of any that I have attended in just that many years. I thought of what Brother Bob suggested earlier. We have been living so high this week, but we have to go home now. And isn't it often true that when we go home, we have to get back into the everyday affairs of the world, especially if we have to go back to work tomorrow? And there are so many things there that will work to just tear us right back down. So what can we do to avoid that? How do we take the convention home with us to help avoid those problems? And I think that what we have to do is take the lessons that we've learned at the convention, and as one of the words on the board says, we have to apply them. And I think what we have to do is take those lessons and let them help make us more Christ-like, to help them to build our characters up that we might truly be following more in His footsteps. Therefore, those experiences would have been more beneficial. The experiences that would tend to want to tear us down will not be nearly so successful. And I realized one of the reasons this convention was so blessed was that so many of the talks seemed to flow together to tell us what to do to develop that. There were so many talks along the lines of, we might say, admonition to tell us how to develop that character, what to do so that when you got home, you were more Christ-like. There were talks that told us positive things, of things that we must do in order to enhance our characters. We had other discourses that told us of things that we must avoid in order that our characters be not dragged down lower. We had discourse that I thought was particularly helpful, that told us how to reconcile ourselves one with another when we cannot exactly come to an understanding and agreement with each other on certain things. And especially I thought timely was that this must all be done while at the same time maintaining sound doctrine, that those character traits that we develop must be built upon the foundation stones of the truth, which of course center around the death and ransom of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord knows, of course, that we need a variety in our menu, so even though a number of discourses were along that line, he provided other things for us too, along the lines of our Christian practice in our ecclesias and along prophetic matters also, to make the convention just a blessed, well-rounded event in my mind. It's often been said to me by Brother Kendi, who wasn't here, isn't it interesting how a number of brethren will go to serve a convention. None of them know what the other one is thinking or doing before they go there. But after you've heard them all, you can see how the Lord overruled each one of them so that everything that each one said seemed to fit so well together, one building upon the next. And I think that was very true in this convention. It seemed to me that that was evident in the discourses. We know that one thing, that if we're going to be built up in the faith, to develop that character likeness, we have to be close one to another. And I was glad and appreciative to see that expressed during the week in many ways. And as though to emphasize it to me personally, the Lord gave me experiences during the week in which I was able to become closer to brethren on a personal basis that I had not ever had an opportunity to do so before, and to appreciate them thus that much the more as members of the body. For certainly we are all one body, so as we help one another, aren't we really helping ourselves? We have the privilege of developing these character traits and of following Christ by the Lord's grace. And I think if we remember that, it will help us to avoid one, at least one, of the problems that was brought out in the study lesson, and that was pride. So with those thoughts, I'd like to leave a scripture which I think admonishes us to, along those lines, to keep that attitude. And that would be 1 Peter chapter 5, starting with verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
I'd like to start off by saying I'd like to congratulate all of you and to compliment all of you for the beautiful spirit that I have seen evidenced this week. I think if there was one thing that I would have to select out of the impression that this convention has left upon me, it would be that. The spirit, and it was a spirit, I think, that was summarized by a statement made earlier by one of the panel members, an old-fashioned convention. Now, as being a junior member of this panel, you may wonder, what do I know about an old-fashioned convention? But when I came into the truth, even before I was consecrated, one of the things that was my early spiritual nutrition was the Deceased Brethren recorded lecture service from Seattle. And there was a spirit that came across from those dear brethren. Most of them I never had the privilege of meeting, except by what I heard on those tapes. Brother Megason, Brother Zano, Brother Sunbaum. And there was that spirit on those tapes that invigorated my early spiritual life. And I often wondered whether that spirit still existed amongst the brethren. As those dear friends finish their course, fewer and fewer that are among us are from the days of Brother Russell. And it was that link to the past that really excited me when I first got the truth. And I've always wondered whether or not I would be in a convention where that spirit would be demonstrated. And I would have to agree with the sentiments of a number of the panel members. I feel that the spirit that was demonstrated here was very close to the spirit that I got from those dear brethren from the past. Some of the special blessings. I would have to repeat some of the comments that have been made by some of the other panel members. I really enjoyed the study. And it's difficult to pick any one comment off of those seven that are listed on the board. But I think out of the study we could say especially participation, contribution, and application would be appropriate ones. And I very much appreciated the study that we had together, and I'd have to agree with the comments that were made already also. The fact that this had a tendency to draw us together with brethren that we didn't know before, and to get to know them in a different environment than would be possible by just attending a discourse or fellowshipping over a meal. And that was a real blessing to me. And I think that the things that we learned in that study, and I must say that I learned many things from the brethren who participated in that study, and I want to thank them also, that those are things that we can carry home with us. Those are things that can help us through as we go back, as was mentioned, whether we're going back to our jobs or whatever it might be, to help us to maintain the spirit of this convention, that we can carry that home with us and try to maintain it in our lives, even though we may not be in a situation where there's a lot of brethren around us. Let's try to keep this spirit with us until it's our privilege to meet together again. A couple of scriptures, and in connection with the first one I'm going to mention in 2 Peter, the first chapter, I'd like to say that I also felt that the Vesper service last night was a special blessing as well, and I very much appreciated that. And one of the scriptures that was instrumental in that special session was in 2 Peter, the first chapter, verses 5 to 8. And I think that this exemplifies so many of the lessons that were given at this convention, and so I'd like to read that. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we can endeavor to practice these things in the days that are before us, and we have this promise that we will not be barren nor unfruitful. And I think another theme or a sub-theme that has been carried forward throughout the convention was this fact that we are so close to the end. The seriousness of the times through which it is our privilege to pass. And the warnings, the exhortations that are given us in the scriptures. That we be prepared for the things that will face us in the future. And so the second scripture that I'd like to leave you with is the one in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and the 10th verse. It's stated here in a negative way. We'd like to rephrase it. The lesson for us is that we receive the truth in the love of it. And if we do, we'll be able to stand. And I think that that is one of the important lessons that has been mentioned in many of the discourses. That we receive the truth in the love of it. Have the spirit of the truth. I don't think that point has been emphasized too little. It's been emphasized much in this convention, but I don't think it's been underemphasized. Not only do we have to have the truth, but we have the spirit of it. and the love of it. And that's my prayer for you, dear brother.
When Brother Allen started speaking, I was reminded a number of years ago, the telephone rang, and on the other end of the line was a kind, sweet voice. It was Brother Allen Springer. I had never met Brother Springer. He was phoning, telling me that he had made arrangements for the Divine Plan program in Fort Wayne. It's been a thrill to see the growth of Brother Springer. And one thought led to another. I was reminded then that on the other side of me is Brother Newell, and I've known him longer than anyone in this auditorium. At the beginning of the convention, the opening talk reminded us that there would be some 15 cooks, I believe. 12 are still here. Some of the cooks have prepared some salads which have whetted our appetites. Others have prepared the main course, and some the dessert. Now, there may have been some ingredients in some of the food that we may have to think about. It may take time to digest. But we've been well served, and we appreciate the spirit which has been shown. I especially appreciated when I saw the beautiful theme text and the chart of the ages displayed in such a prominent manner. I think this may be the key why this has been such a good convention. We should not be ashamed to display that chart. I especially appreciated some fellowship after the baptismal service. Those involved will know what I mean. It was indeed a privilege to enjoy that fellowship, as well as other special times of fellowship here at the convention. It has also been a time of getting better acquainted with some of our brethren, which I have appreciated. We may have known a brother for a number of years, or a sister, and yet not really know them, not get acquainted with them in the way that we sometimes have that privilege. And so I've had a number of privileges here of getting better acquainted with the brethren. And I too would like to express that the study was excellent. When we see a convention program, we sometimes wonder, well, how will this turn out? I've attended different studies at conventions before, but I must say that this one was the best study at a convention that I've ever attended. I also would like to express to the committee the nice arrangement of the program. Again, we may look at a program and we may think, well, it should have been this way or it should have been that way. But as it has turned out, we had ample time for our fellowship, and we had a wide variety of things on the program which had the Lord's blessing. I also appreciated that the committee looked out for our material needs here at the convention. I too experienced a sense of a revival toward more fellowship with those of the household of faith, but based upon sound doctrine. It's the sound doctrine which will enable us to have the sweetest fellowship. We should never compromise the truth. And as we mentioned last evening, my heart was touched by those two testimonies which stressed their appreciation of the fact that there is no eternal torment. I think sometimes as Bible students, we tend to forget how blessed we have been with the correct understanding of what say the scriptures concerning hell. We too at this convention have had the lesson brought to our attention of not judging. It is so easy to pass judgment when we should be listening. But when this occurs, we're thankful for the privilege of asking forgiveness wherein we have come short. Perhaps even in the midst of a large group of our brethren, there have been some fiery trials at the convention and periods of loneliness. This often happens at a convention. It may take a little period of time to get our balance, but when we do, we realize that that is a part of the all things working together for our highest spiritual welfare. Have you noticed that after a fiery trial, if we pass that test, the Lord opens the door for greater opportunities of service? It was mentioned from the platform that the adversary may find a weak point in our armor. And when he does, he is very insistent and persistent to try to discourage us. What a privilege it is to endeavor to put on and to keep on the whole armor of God. There have also been periods of time at the convention in which one of the 7 points can apply, and that is meditation. And as we go back home, it is important that we not only spend as much time as possible in study and activity, but also to meditate. It's our desire to leave this convention with a greater determination to apply the lessons of the truth and to be faithful, for as we were admonished in the closing discourse, the time seems to be very short. While we still have these golden opportunities, may we be diligent in sharing the truth, both far and near.
Thank you, Brother George.
Brethren, I want to say amen to all the comments that we've been hearing on the convention. Although I was only here part-time, but I certainly believe the parts I missed were just as good as the parts that I've seen, and it certainly was a fine convention. It's continuing that way. I'm sorry, I want to apologize for one thing, that is that I didn't come up here sooner. I wasn't specifically told, and I try to observe the scripture. The Lord said, paraphrasing a little bit, take your seat at the bottom and stay there until somebody tells you to come up higher. But we truly feel that it is a blessed time here. We feel it is a very well-balanced convention, and it's very worthwhile discourses and thoughts given. And the spirit we've seen manifested, I would say, has certainly been very fine. Having known our pastor a little bit and seen some of the excellent manifestations of spirit that he had, I'm glad to see that same spirit working in brethren here today. Saying it was a well-balanced convention, we're glad to hear the sound doctrine, to hear the thoughts on character development, on the exhortation to greater Christian activity and unity, and also those on prophecy, and particularly to bringing the fact of Israel and God's promise that Israel will ultimately have a special blessing in his in the final arrangements. All of these things, I feel, were manifestations of the Lord's true spirit working here within us today. We know that there also there were various points brought out about the importance and necessity of facing the Christians' problems under today's conditions. I see our brethren who are serving on the platform and trying their best to give heed to the instructions in the scriptures. And it reminded me of a statement that I used to hear Brother Dan Morehouse, the Chicago Ecclesia, say from some time. He said he never knew a good elder that wasn't a good deacon. In other words, when the elders may not be busy on their own thing, if they see a deacon facing a problem, they help him. And I still think Brother Dan Morehouse had a very good point, that he never saw a good elder that wasn't a good deacon, and I've seen some mighty good deacons here today.
and not, when I say today, that means as long as I was here at the convention, I'm sure it was right from the beginning. I truly found a fine spirit of fellowship and a measure of, and we feel that that spirit of fine fellowship is a real measure of the quality of a convention. And I'm thankful to our Heavenly Father and Lord to have been privileged to attend even part-time at a convention where that spirit was manifested. And I do want to thank our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior for granting me the privilege of being here, even part-time. And it truly has been a helpful matter to be here. And along that line of being thankful, I think of what our pastor said on a number of occasions, that he felt that there never was such a thing as an unthankful Christian. I'm sure that we all agree with him, because I've seen so many evidences and heard so many expressions of thankfulness about being here and so on. Now, as we might say one thing more. We've been receiving many important lessons here, and I'm sure that we're trying to heed them. But now, I try to keep in mind after convention, I trust that you do too, that we've been receiving these very helpful lessons here. The Lord expects us to go home and put those lessons into practice so that they build into our own character. As we told the brethren at the convention over in Kufstein, Austria, people have many jewels at times, but those jewels can be very easily lost. But if we take the scriptural advice and the lessons that we receive from our study and our fellowship and build them into our own lives as Christian nourishment, we no longer have a jewel, we have become one of the Lord's jewels. And I trust, dear brethren, that we all are closer to being finally and firmly one of the Lord's jewels as a result of our being here at this convention. As a closing scripture, I would like to quote as best I can from memory, Ephesians 4:15. Speaking the truth in love, grow up into him which is the head in all things, even Christ. May that be our goal. Thank you, Brother Bob.
Thank you, Brother Noel. I think Brother Noel's apology really ought to come from me. As many of you know, he's my uncle in the flesh and my brother in Christ, and certainly no one has been more of a father to me than Brother Noel. And that I should have been the one to fail to communicate to him, well, I did it to everybody else, that they were expected to sit up here so that he had to wait for the lowest seat, is my responsibility, not his, and so I apologize. One of the blessings that this convention has been to me has been the sense of the struggles that each of us is having with the realities of our own lives. We as Bible students live in a certain kind of world, and it's a very pleasant, idealistic world, and we enjoy it immensely. But in each of our lives, those spoken and those unspoken, we're having problems, wrestlings with the world, the flesh, and the devil, and that we have discovered that it is certainly only by the Lord's strength that we can overcome. Of our own strength, of our own wisdom, of our own experience, we are unable, and certainly life has proven that to us. This convention has been a blessing to me because it has given so many practical directions, so much practical advice on how to deal with that. One of the very special things that came to me was in fellowship when a sister was saying to me that the very depths of our prayers must be to expunge from ourselves the very treasured secret sins. If we don't do that, we are sure to fail. We must be honest with the Lord because he's honest with us. If we harbor any treasure of sin, it will be the reason that we fail. This convention, I think, has given us so much strength that we can go over and over the thoughts and be revived by them and deal honestly with our realities, with our secret sins. And as the prophet says, cleanse me from secret sins and hidden faults that I may not be guilty of the great transgression. I think that when we think of the convention, very often we think of the elders that have spoken. Sometimes we think of the testimonies, and sometimes we think of the fellowship that we have. All of these are important. But I think only those of us who have been in responsible positions of providing the arrangements of convention really appreciate how much the brethren who have had to arrange the physical qualities of this convention have had to work. Their labor of love has gone on behind the scene, but it is certainly a causative factor to the success of this convention. And so I would like to ask for a vote of thanks from all of you, not only for the convention committee and the chairman and all those who have had a participating share in it, but for the brethren who have come from far and near to provide for the needs of the new creation. Shall we vote and send by our extended hand a vote of thanks to all of these brethren? Thank you. I think that was unanimous. I think the convention chairman is not here at the moment, but those of you who know him, please convey that so that he can convey it to the rest of the members too. Now, we're going to ask for second thoughts from any of the elders.
Well, Bob, I didn't take my 10 minutes. You know, I'm entitled a few more minutes.
If the brethren stay for it, Brother Edmund, you're welcome.
Okay. I just wanted to mention that in the area of contributions, there was such a thing as unaware contributions that some of them might have had. I had that experience in the Love Feast. Brother comes along, all of a sudden he throws his arms around me and he hugs me. Now, I'm not the hugging type, you know, but it was good anyway, the way it felt. But then I asked him why, and he says, you know, when I came here, I spent a few moments with you. I was just down and out. I told you my problem, and what you said at that particular time, it just lifted me up, and ever since, I was on top. So I'm just kind of happy about that, because sometimes you contribute something you don't even know you're contributing. The knowledgeable ones, I know that I speak here, I've contributed something, but here I did something I didn't know of until he came around and just gave me a hug. I just appreciated that.
We thank the Lord for the blessings and the fact that you're willing to be what you are not normally.
Yes. One of the brethren mentioned in their remarks that we can be considered apostles, spelled with a small a, which means to be sent forth. And I would like for us to consider the 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's going to be our lot with some of the blessings of this convention, and the Lord is going to call upon us to suffer for his name, to sacrifice, and to serve. And I would pray that we would be more than faithful, more than overcomers in that.
Are there any other thoughts?
No. Just something that I appreciate. And I think it, well, nothing like fumbling for words. A lot of brethren have appreciated the question sessions following discourses, but I want to mention them from a standpoint of what I think they show on the underneath of things. There were times, maybe they still are here, there were places, maybe they're still here, where brethren were afraid to ask other brethren what they believed and why, especially if they slightly differed. And I think that our ability here to talk back and forth, whether or not we all see it alike, is so healthy and such a wonderful sign of the Lord's Spirit that I very, very much appreciate it. And it shows what can be done, not only at a convention, but in our own ecclesias, not only there, but in speaking with other brethren elsewhere. If we know how to ask questions, know how to ask questions, with the right spirit behind them, it's a tremendous blessing. And we find out we always misunderstood what the other brother thought anyway. And before, we carried that misunderstanding, and it grew and festered and became a terrible problem. Now we see that it doesn't have to be that way.
Thank you, and I'd like to add, not only should we know how to ask questions, but we should know how to listen to the answers to those questions. Anyone else like to have a second stand?
Make it quickly on attitude, anticipation of the convention, attitudes and anticipation. There was quite a bit of discussion last year at this convention about the program structure, and a lot of difference of opinion on how programs should be and type of session and all. And I think the convention committee tried to make everybody happy by having a little bit of everything. But I think still many of us have ideas how this could be a little different, a little better, or we don't like this type of the program or that type. But what I sensed at this convention is that everybody came not with a spirit of criticism, that they didn't care for the structure of it, and I think all of us have certain reservations in various areas according to our natural inclinations. But it seemed that everybody came with the attitude that this was going to be a blessed convention, and they were going to get something out of the convention. And I think no matter how perfect a program is structured, or how imperfect a program is structured, if the attitude of anticipation isn't proper, the convention will be a failure. I happen to feel that this has been a wonderful convention. I won't say it's the best, because usually the last convention we were at is the best convention. But I think it's been such a wonderful convention because brethren didn't come in a critical attitude. They came in an attitude to receive and to be a blessing, and that meant a lot to me. Yes.
Thank you. We're going to have to give up on our second chances now. There are two scriptures that I'd like to leave you with. The one is the theme text. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape and to stand before the Son of Man. And the other one, anticipating the successes and the joys, but also anticipating the problems and the difficulties and perhaps some failures that will be part of our reality in the next few days, weeks, and months. I'd like to leave with you the thought in 1 Peter 5:10. It's been quoted already from the platform, but to me it's been a real joy because in so many of my failures it has been a sustenance. But the God of all grace, that in itself is a wonderful promise. The God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, establish, strengthen, and settle you. May it be so to the honor and glory of our Heavenly Father in your lives.
We've had many thought-provoking comments and heart-provoking comments. And that's the whole purpose of our meeting together, isn't it? Hebrews 10, 24 and 5, which all of us know, forsake not the assembling of thy brethren, but the purpose, says in verse 24, I believe, to provoke unto love and to good works. I think we've all been provoked, haven't we, in a good way. And in going back, we're going to have a hard time. Maybe already some of you have packed your trunks and tried to squeeze in everything that you could. In fact, we have to pack some more, don't we? We pack a suitcase full of fellowship and the lessons that we've learned and some of the echoes of the thoughts that the brethren have given here. And we've got such a load of love and precious thoughts that we might lose some gas mileage on the way back because it's so heavy. But we're going to have a lot of, instead of MPGs being worried about, we're going to have a lot of MPSs, because when we run out of gas, we're still going to be filled with the Spirit, and we're going to take home these thoughts, and we're going to try to get a lot of miles per spirit, and that's going to carry us through to the next convention. And so we'll leave you with those thoughts and just a few announcements. First of all, we have 4 extra meal tickets if anybody needs those, rather than going and purchasing them. Please see me about that if you need those. Secondly, we want to remind you that those who are in the Miller dorm, I hope you've already packed and are removed from there, because there is another group that's going to be checking in at 1 p.m. Everybody else has until 3 o'clock to exit from their dorms. Also, make sure that all your keys are returned to the place where you picked them up. And so we've come to the end of our convention, brethren. May the Lord richly bless and keep you till we meet again.
Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, as we approach thy throne of grace at the end of this convention, our hearts are filled with gratitude for thy mercy, thy tender love to us, the strength and the nourishment which you have provided to us, each one individually and all of us collectively, and the gift and the reaffirmation of thy Holy Spirit. Help us to use these blessings to bring honor and glory to thy name. Help us to be joyous in the narrow way steps before us, that we may be with the strength of determination and the joy in our zeal to serve and please thee, until we hear, thou, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of thy Lord. For we ask these things not only just for ourselves, but for thy people the world over, and for a full establishment of thy kingdom very soon. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.